Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. What's in a word, a phrase, a tweet? Attendees at tomorrow's talk at the Penn Science Cafe will learn about efforts to predict heart disease with Twitter. Let's get an advanced look with Penn psychologist Johannes Eichstädt. Johannes, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
The Twitter analysis is the latest in an ongoing look by Penn's World Wellbeing Project. What's the underlying premise linking language and not merely emotional state, but physical as well?
The basic assumption is that as we migrate our social lives onto Facebook and Twitter more and more, through language analysis of these spaces, we're able to detect more and more about how people live their lives, their psychological states, and even the sorts of things that end up driving health behaviors and, in the end, physical states and disease.
At first glance, it seems like the stuff of seers or fortune tellers, and especially using social media, how do you account for what I might construct to be an idealized form of communication or an idealized self that you represent yourself with on Facebook or Twitter?
So we psychologists think about this in terms of social desirability biases. So in America in particular, it seems to be positive emotion is valued over negative emotion. Statements of achievement and accomplishment are valued over failure. So when people are in these socially desirable environments, they end up overstating their positive emotions and tend to stay quiet if things don't go so well, if they're having bad days. Fortunately, that tends to be within the American culture that's quite systematic. So it's not something where you see a lot of variation between people. And whenever you have something that's systematic across an entire sample, our algorithms can pick up on it and they can take this out of the equations.
And regarding that total sample, do you feel that Facebook and Twitter are representative of society as a whole, those who use those avails?
Not at all, but increasingly so. So Twitter has in particular, has a bias towards slightly younger populations, more urban populations. African-Americans are overrepresented. People often assume that it's only the upper middle class white people who use Twitter, but that's actually not the case.
Well, let's move on then to one of the intended benefits of this research, and that being using Twitter as a predictive element in diagnosing, in this case, heart disease.
Yeah, I mean, the first important sort of clarification at this point is that this is not at the individual level. So what we're not doing is taking somebody's, say, Twitter feeds or Facebook feeds, or running it through analysis to then sort of keep updated tabs on his or her disease risk for heart disease. What we're tapping is the psychological characteristics of community, the psychological ecology of the community. When you're trying to predict heart diseases of many communities, the standard epidemiological approach is to use things like income, education, the demographic composition of the population, as well as perhaps as is available, a sort of average level of hypertension and obesity, say. And you throw all of this into a gold standard epidemiological model. You give a good statistical algorithm all that information and you say, okay, now go predict heart disease. And that does pretty well. Twitter does better, as far as we can tell, significantly so. So it's not that Twitter captures a completely different set of information. It seems like that Twitter absorbs all these other pieces of information. So Twitter contains, the language patterns on Twitter contain markers for all of these other variables. So similarly to heart disease, we can predict, say, income through Twitter or a county's education or a county's level of obesity. So we have access to all these different variables because there's something in the language representation of people's lives that lays testament to the fact that people are obese or that they walk and so forth. So we have all this sort of business as usual variables. But on top of that, it appears that we also have psychological predictors that are not captured in these biological variables.
Johannes Eichstädt, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you for your interest. It was my pleasure.
Johannes is a Penn psychologist, and he'll be speaking tomorrow at the Penn Science Cafe, learning about efforts to predict heart disease with Twitter.